What's up, nerds? It's Dan, the Lonely Havoc, back with another Havoccast podcast. As you know, it's the podcast about tabletop war games, RPGs, and the people that play them. My favorite thing. Speaking of people, I met a lot of awesome people this week at Adepticon 2019. We'll definitely be doing an Adepticon recap episode next week. Gonna get some of the folks that were there on, and we're gonna all chat together in a roundtable format. We'll see if that works out. But this week's podcast, I will be popping open my shopping bags from Adepticon and sharing with you the items that I purchased. I'm not 100% how good a podcast is for that sort of thing, but I'll describe them to you in very little detail. I also have a great conversation with my buddy Oz, Pandora Bits Box. We talked about everything and anything, and we had a great time, and we laughed a lot, and that's what we do here on the Havoccast podcast. So please sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. Put your feet up like I need to, because they hurt a lot from standing for four or five days in a row. Join the podcast that has just spent a whole lot of money on Lasercut MDF. It's the Havoccast. This is podcast number 21. Oh, so I'm back from Adepticon 2019. I'm very tired. I will tell you, I had a fantastic time meeting so many awesome people and having a lot of fun. I played very few games, actually, to be honest. But it was just a good time to see so many people together. I mean, there's thousands upon thousands of people that are at Adepticon every year. And I always say that games bring us together, and that's proof right there. Everyone was super nice. Everyone was having a good time. I didn't see any sort of like drama or anything like that. So that's fantastic. And everyone was very polite to each other. And I really like that. That is something that I noticed maybe even more than the previous years. Everyone was just being kind. And, you know, that's great because we need that right now. We always need kindness. So, of course, the vendor hall is a huge draw for the convention. All kinds of vendors selling all kind of awesome game stuff, minis to games, tabletop accessories, a guy selling tables. But my favorite thing to buy is terrain. So let's go in my bag here. I literally have the bag sitting here because I haven't unpacked yet. So I bought a bunch of terrain from a company called Death Ray Designs. And Death Ray Designs is actually probably my favorite terrain. I have a ton of it already, and they released a new set called New Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. Tell me if I'm saying that right or wrong. And it looks like it is definitely geared more toward Infinity, because it is also very modular. It is basically, you get these buildings that are flat, don't really have anything on them, and they come in multiple sizes, so you get the building. The building's got these cool little slots on the side, and the slots on the side allow you to attach different things to the front of them to make the building have a different sort of appearance. And it's all very stackable, very modular, so I bought a couple of bay windows. And the bay windows are interesting because they come with like a glossy plastic that actually goes in the window and makes it look like a window. I bought a sushi shack that goes on the front. It's very Blade Runner-esque. Very cool. What else did I get? I got a garage door, so you hook the garage door on there, and all of a sudden your big building is a big, huge garage. Some rails. Oh, boy. This is a lot more than I remember buying another bay window. A couple of the buildings. I bought about 8, 9 of these buildings. And the cool thing about the buildings is they're all different sizes. So the bigger ones, obviously, are the base, and you can stack the smaller ones on top. And then there's ladders and bridges and things like that. And it all sort of goes together. My other bag was a little farther away. Oh, hey, I bought more of it. I went back on the last day and bought more. So let me pop into this other bag here. What do we got? So I bought more of the size 1 building, which is the one of the smaller size ones. And let me see. Okay, I bought another size 1 building. Wow. What did I... And I bought... Oh, here we go. Some bridges. So, oh, yeah. So it's slots into the buildings and kind of actually hooks the buildings together. So it's like a little walkway. And they had a really cool display. It was like super tall, and it caught my eye from from pretty far away. And like I said, I really love Death Ray Designs anyway, and then I saw that and completely fell in love. And, you know, they didn't have to give me the spiel or anything. I just bought everything. I was like, I want this stuff so bad. And I told my wife about it in a text. I was like, hey, I got more terrain. She's like, oh, good. You were definitely running low on terrain. So I like terrain. So what else did I buy? Let me see here. I bought a model from Creature Caster, and I forget the name of this individual. He is a demon fellow. Oh, I think they make a lot of demons, but this one in particular is more of a standard demon. I think he's like the Herald of Ruin or something like that. And he has a very Satan-esque look to him, and he's got a badass sword, and he's kind of got his hand out like he's sort of like gripping or kind of like, you know, force choking somebody. But I'm going to use that for my Slaves to Darkness army because I wanted something different than the Nurgle-ish looking demon, because I already have a Creature Caster demon with the scythe, and I'm having a lot of fun painting that guy, but I wanted something a little different. So I got that dude, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, I had to go to the Forge World Games Workshop booth and get Abaddon the Despoiler. So I got that dude sitting in a box since I am starting Chaos Space Marines back up again. It was a huge bummer for me whenever they took a lot of the things out of Death Guard book that you could take with Chaos Space Marines, but I had so many Death Guard, I run the Death Guard book. And, yeah, Havocs. That's all I got to say. I'm ready for the Havocs. So Abaddon's going to be a good addition to that army, obviously. I also bought a bunch of MDF shapes. So every year they have a vendor that sells just these bins of different laser-cut MDF bases, shapes, or whatever. And they come in all shapes and sizes. There's rounds, squares, ovals, big, small, whatever you want, they have it. And you fill a pint, like a Chinese food container full. And it's like 15, 20 bucks, depending on which size you get. I mean, obviously, pints different size. But so I got actually three of those because, you know, you got to have the stuff. I got a, what is this? It's like a template. It's kind of like this U-shaped sort of template from Broken Egg Games. And it's got like a 2-inch, a 1-inch, a 6-inch, a 3-inch. And all together, it is 9 inches long measurement, so that way you can do cool measurements for things. And not in this bag, but I also bought some bits from the bit seller. One of the main areas of the hall is just a row of bits containers of individual models that are individually priced as well. I forget the vendor, I'm so sorry. But just tons of Tupperware, and you just sit there and like sift through them. You know, whenever you need a certain piece for Lego and you and your friends are sitting in front of your big Lego bin like sorting through, and it's like ksh, ksh, ksh. It's kind of like that, but it's individually priced bits, models. They're all in their own little plastic bag. Sometimes there's three or four, you know, and they're all like used. Some are new, some are just the parts on the sprue, some are like a random model, maybe it's missing a piece or here and there, and some of them are like amazingly pristine, well painted models. So you just kind of got to go through it, and they're all individually labeled by what they are. So, you know, you could spend hours just sitting there, like, sorting through. And definitely my first couple of Adepticons, I spent a lot of time there, a lot of time and money, to be 100% honest. But I did find some Chosen for my Slaves of Darkness army, and I also found a Chaos Lord, Mounted Chaos Lord, old metal. And he looks really badass. I mean, the horse is kind of tiny compared to the other horses, but he's fucking cool. And, yeah, that's what I got. So, I'm sure I bought some other things. I can't remember. And they're all sort of scattered around. This little things here and there, wound markers and stuff like that. But, you know, I've got to the point where I just don't buy a whole lot of stuff anymore. Maybe I just have everything that I want, or I feel like I have everything I need. I don't really know. But there you go. That's the stuff I bought at Adepticon, and now I have a lot of stuff to build and paint. And now 20-odd questions with my man Oz, Pandora's Bits Box.
Okay, hey, it is Oz, Pandora's Bits Box. What's up, man?
How's it going?
It's going good. We just had a good conversation about that you go by Oz and nobody knows that, like, ever.
No, I don't. Well, people on Twitter don't know that. It doesn't really bother me. I haven't advertised it, but I'm
now they know.
Yeah. Now my secret is out.
Oh, like OZ, Oz.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like the wizard.
What's your favorite paint color?
Yeah, I'm going to say Tin Bits.
10 bits.
Yeah, I did think about it for a while.
You're bringing it back.
Basically, with 10 bits, I don't know why I like it so much, but every time it looks weird to me. For a long time, I did not know when to use that at all. Yeah, it just didn't seem like a normal, like, natural color to use for anything. I used to paint Skaven back when I was like 11 or 12 or whatever, you know. And I think I used it just because I thought it looked nice. But it always looked weird. Recently I found a good use for it.
Am I thinking the right color that it looks kind of like a weird
dark purpley.
Like an oil slick almost, or am I thinking something else?
Yeah, sort of, but it's not like an oil slick's got like rainbow.
Yeah, colors. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Tin bits
is like, yeah, but it's like metallic. So
yeah,
if that oil slick was like completely speculated into tiny, tiny dots, if it was the least natural oil slick you've ever seen in your life, then yeah.
Like, yeah, I think I had that. Slick. That's like an older color though. Like, I don't recall.
Yeah,
that
super
being,
old.
Like, I was I might 12 or 13 whenever I had actually
Tin
bits.
I've got two pots of it. So I've got a really old one, which I inherited off someone. And I've got another one, which is, it's in one of the round pots, so it must have survived for a while. But
oh shit, yeah, that's old.
Both of them are like just like they've never been opened.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. That's good.
I don't know how they've survived so well because I've got paints from all different generations, and some of them just need thrown out now.
Yeah, and they're like hard.
Yeah.
When and how did you get into the hobby?
Okay, so specifically wargaming, that would have been Warhammer Fantasy when I was, like I said, about 11 or 12. A guy I knew from like primary school ever, when I went to secondary school and saw him again, he was like, oh yeah, play this game. So didn't actually like him very much. He hung out with me and this other guy who I'm really good friends with, and he introduced us to it, and we actually enjoyed playing. I enjoyed playing my other friend, who I started with, more than this other guy. Oh, man, because he was so... I mean, yeah, we were children, but he was childish. No, I mean, it was unbearable. We had some really... We had him walk out, and I just couldn't believe it. It was so ridiculous. But yeah, the time that he left of his own volition, that was even more ridiculous. He bought this new, like, polystyrene castle, and he was super pleased with it. It wasn't, like, painted or anything. It was just a polystyrene castle. But this was clearly his new baby. So for a change, we were like, he goes, we'll do a scenario. He goes, because obviously he was so confident that we couldn't touch him because of the way he normally played. Mm-hmm. He was like, all you have to do is get a single model in my castle. And we're like, okay, cool. Yeah, why not? We never make it to him anyway. We'll just try it. So we start the game, and we always fielded everything we had.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was about points.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, fuck it, we'll put everything on there. And so we must spend like, an hour and a half setting up, just trying to remember everything, setting up the thing. Oh, let's play with magic as well. I remember that was like a whole ordeal. So we did that too. and my friend's playing Chaos, I'm playing Skaven. He shows me a card and he goes, does that work the way I think it works? I'm like, yeah. And it was a card that is I think my friend, the guy with the castle, takes it to him first. And he said, shall I do it? And I'm like, yeah, I don't see why not. So he rolls for, we all move. And then he rolls for magic and he goes, yeah, it worked. Okay, so this says I can teleport a guy anywhere on the board and I'm teleporting him into your castle. And I don't know if I can word of a lie. He just went, you can't do that. And we went, it says on the rules that he can.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing. And we win. Let's just put everything back 6 inches and start over. And he packed up his stuff and left.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he is the reason I got into fantasy. But he's not the reason I stayed.
Next question. What fictional setting would you most like to go to?
Oh man, this was one of the questions I was afraid of. Like, in this setting, am I just me? because depending on the setting, like,
yeah,
it could be incredible. Like, if I'm just me, then the setting's going to be, I don't know, Friends or something, where I right. don't die instantaneously.
Right.
Whereas, like, if I say 40k, I'm like, cool, I'm in the Warhammer. Oh, there's a demon coming up my neck. Oh, my God, I'm being eaten by tyranids, whatever.
So, would be you in this setting. Maybe, like, I mean, like, what would you choose to be if you could be something else in the setting?
Well, one thing I thought of, like, we were talking about Magic the Gathering. Mm-hmm. In that there's planeswalkers who can step from place to place. And I think in the Magic the Gathering universe, only because there's so many, like, planes, so many varied. Now, obviously, in terms of them making a game, they like to make all the planes varied to make them interesting. But because of that reason, that would be a really cool place to, like, hop one place to another and be like, oh, this place is cool. Everything's made of metal. This place is cool. People are, or there's dinosaurs everywhere, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can just, step away if something scary happens. But if I'm just a guy and I go, oh yeah, I want to go to Dinosaur World. Oh wait, I'm dinosaur food.
Yeah, and then the dinosaur just eats you like immediately.
I wasn't like, I want to be in the 40k universe, but I want to beat Tsinch. I mean, that would be mental. Yeah.
That's like the first time anyone's actually like quantified that question and said, wait a minute, do I still have to be me?
I can't help it. I have to think about everything.
Everyone's always like, oh, I'd go to Mass Effect or I'd go to the, you know, the Shire or whatever the fuck. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. No one's ever been like, wait.
Yeah,
do I have to be me?
I'm not signing anything until
you know.
Give me all the deets.
What shows are you into these days?
So the last thing we watched was Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, enjoyed it.
That's pretty good.
Before that, a lot of the shows I, inverted commas, see, I listen to like audiobooks and then get like description off my wife when something visual happens. Because I'm sitting, there's like the lounge and the dining room are joined, but there's a big chimney breast that comes out like halfway in between them, which means I can't see the TV. So I'm sitting on my hobby table in the dining room, painting, and she's in the other room watching something, and I listen to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've seen like whole scene in my mind's eye, entire series of something else I can't remember.
Right. But
yeah, mostly like sci-fi stuff or something. Well, I watched I haven't seen the new series of Star Trek Discovery, but I saw the one before. That was quite cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen Discovery yet. I'm working my way through Star Trek Enterprise right now.
Then Discovery is gonna be a joy,
like a reward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enterprise is rough.
It's gonna be like when your parents say, "Now eat all your greens, and you can have some ice cream."
Yeah, yeah.
Eat your fucking greens.
Fucking eat them. So you appreciate like, the ice cream.
You're like crying your way through some sprouts.
Dear God. Next question. If you had to describe yourself as an animal, what animal would it be?
Okay. I think I've mostly been called a bear or a gorilla.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm quite hairy. Yeah. I'm not massive, but I'm definitely not small. My friends like to make heavy jokes of me a lot. But yeah, so maybe some sort of gorilla bear.
Good answer. Next question.
You don't want to fuck with a gorilla bear.
You don't mess with a gorilla bear. Holy shit. Speaking of you don't fuck with a gorilla bear, what is one thing you will never do again?
Oh, well, drink. I don't drink. Have done. No, not because of, I know that you had your own issues in the past and you dealt with those. Yeah. But my issue was, I think it tastes fucking gross.
Really?
Yeah, I used to drink mostly to cope with other drunk people.
Yeah, okay.
I've had like the older my friends got, the more they wanted to stay in, and they've caught up with me, who never really wanted to go out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I drank for a while. I started drinking late, like compared to my friends who were like drinking when they were like teenagers. I didn't start drinking until like I was 17 or something, like a sixth-form party, like, you know, like the end of high school sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I started drinking then. I remember a lot of people thinking I was like off my face, but I wouldn't drink much. I was just trying it back then. But then I would go and dance. And because everyone saw me dancing in the parties, but in the school, I was super quiet. They all thought I was out of my mind on drink.
You just wanted to dance.
Yeah, I've been accused of being on drugs as well. The first time I ever drank. So the first party I went to, I drank like an alcohol pop, a beer, and I had one shot. I was just trying, and that's the only thing I drank all night.
Yeah, yeah.
And
just to see what it was.
But I drank about like 3 pints of water as well, because I was dancing, and like I sweat a lot. Like I sweat if I think about a hard sum. So, I would go up and dance and like soak my clothes through it. And I was going up and asking for water because I was so dehydrated.
Yeah.
And the woman behind the bar said, "If you're on E, drink it slowly." But yeah, no, I don't drink because it's like an effort for me to drink. Mm-hmm. I don't drink or smoke, and people think, "Oh wow, you must treat your body like a temple." And I'm like, no, I eat bullshit. It's so easy not to drink when everything tastes like piss.
What is it about drinking that people are always like, "Oh man, but have you tried this?" Like, "Oh, I don't drink." "Oh, but have you tried this?"
My favorite.
I haven't fucking drank.
Yeah, to try and get me drinking was drink beer or whatever, and I'm like, no thanks, it's gross. And they go, "Oh, it's always gross the first time you drink it, but you get used to it." What? I'm not fucking drinking something I have to get used to. I better I suppose that's what you're doing with Enterprise, pushing through the shit to get to something good.
Until I get used to it. I get a buzz off.
You're getting through Enterprise so you can get onto Discovery. Going through Enterprise in the hope that the end of Enterprise is worth it.
Yeah, no, I know it's not going to be worth it. What piece of entertainment do you wish you could erase from your mind so you could experience it for the first time again?
No, this isn't something I've done recently, but maybe virtual reality. I remember the first time I stepped into a VR machine when everything was shit and still like everything was a triangle.
Yeah.
And I went in there and I went berserk. I was so small. It was still in where you had to stand in like a ring and wear like a harness.
Yeah.
And a massive head. But my brother went in it first and then I went in it. Uh-huh. And I was so small, I had to wear my jacket and my brother's jacket so the harness would stay on me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I went in there and I instantly immersed, regardless of quality. Like, you know when, gameplay is good, so good, it doesn't matter what the graphics are like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I just, as far as I was concerned, I was in this other shape dimension where I was trying to shoot weird stuff and I was traveling. And, like, I remember, like, at one point, something attacking me, and I was just spinning around like a lunatic. And then all of a sudden, someone taps me on the shoulder, and I'm like, "What the hell?" So, because I mean, I've seen people like with the VR headsets now, which is a bit, it's tricky. As technology advances, there's like these problems come up where they make something so detailed, you see the flaws.
Sure.
So, like old beat 'em ups. No one really thought about the graphics that much. But now they got super dynamic ragdoll effects. And but then someone, a piece of cloth passes through their arm like a millimeter. And you're like, "Man, that looks shit." But
this
like,
game sucks.
Yeah. Fuck this game. Just snap the disc across your leg. So unrealistic.
Do you remember when like Mortal Kombat was doing that? Like if you like did a fatality on a dude, it would show like an X-ray of like the bones being crunched. I was like, for real? Like this is where we're going? Like Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat's always been like I remember the first one and it was like ripping a guy. I remember a guy said this to me in school. He was talking about a cool game and I said, "Oh, have you played this other game?" And it was like a turn-based strategy that was really cool and realistic. And he was talking about Mortal Kombat, and I was talking about this other game. And he was talking to a bunch of people, and I tried to join in with that. And he said, "Can you kick people in half in it?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, it's shit then. I don't want to fucking play a game where I can't kick people in half." I was like, wow, that's a really really niche game type they're going for.
Oz, what's the last time you changed your opinion about something?
I like to think I do readily. People accuse me of not budging on stuff, but I do quit. Like, as with the question about what fantasy setting would I want to live in, I have to question everything. I like to think if someone asked me my reason for thinking of something, I would have a reason for it. Like, everything's been thought out. So sometimes when someone says something to me and I question it, they think I am disagreeing with their opinion and saying they're wrong. I get accused of arguing a lot that way. But what I'm actually doing is I'm questioning what they say, because if I don't question it, I can't understand the reason for it. And it's how I, like, I process everything. And so people will be like, oh, God, you just, you never change your mind. I'm like, well, no, if you came up with a good argument, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, cool. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
But if you come up with a stupid argument, then no, I'm not going to change my mind. Like, for example, dump your elbows on the table. Why? Because it's, you shouldn't do it. That's a shit reason. I'm going to keep doing it. If they say, well, why are you doing it? Because it's propping up my head when I'm being lazy.
Right, yeah. There's a, you have a reason behind it.
Yeah, there's a reason behind it. And I like to think I can access that. But I'm trying to think if there was something. It must be something I watched. I can't remember the most recent thing. But something that springs to mind now, so not yet forever, on this one question, is Bridesmaids, the film.
The movie?
Yeah, yeah. I know it was a while back. But, like, basically, someone lent it to me. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, I can't be fucking bothered with that. I look shit. The cover, just like these women on the front all in pink, and some of them look like they're full of twos, and it's like the letters are all like glittery and stuff, and I thought, this looks like a piece of shit. And the girl who lent it to me said, oh, it's really funny, you should watch it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna like it. So I didn't watch it for ages. It just sat like on the desk, and then my wife and my friend put it on one day. And I wasn't watching it. I was like on the computer while it was on. And one of the first jokes or something that happens in it, it's like, well, like these two people are in bed. Someone says something and I laughed out loud and I thought, oh, that was really funny. So I stopped playing on the computer and I just watched it. And then something else happened, and I sit on the sofa. And then something else happened, and I lie back on the sofa, and I get very comfortable. And before long, I was, like, rolling off the sofa crying. And so my attitude went from weeks of, this looks like it's going to be a piece of shit, to, that was fucking amazing.
Like, being and into need, it.
And I need to tell everyone I know to watch it. Even the people I know that will have the exact same attitude I did.
Oz, what's your go-to piece of hobby gear?
Go to would have to be something I use all the time. So I don't know, a brush, glue, but my favorite piece of hobby material is green stuff.
Green stuff, yeah.
I love green.
You do some crazy green stuff.
Not just because it's useful, because obviously liquid green stuff came out and people went, oh, what a cool idea, and then it didn't work.
Yeah,
it's, and so the only point, yeah, it's horrible for what they tried to sell it for. But it's good for like adding texture to something, using it as like a modeling tool rather than a gap filler, because it just shrinks, and then you still got a fucking dent instead of a instead of a ravine, you've got like a deep trench that you can see the bottom of. So, and it's like, well, hang on, so I'm gonna have to do like 18 layers of this and then sand it off anyway. What's the fucking point?
Make it look good.
So I just push green stuff in there and smooth it off. And I use it for when I'm pinning something together. Like, it took me ages to try and pin things. I didn't have a good way of doing it, especially if you had to do more than one pin, because you're trying to get them like parallel and into the holes to match it. So what I do is I put the thing in place. I drill straight through the thing I'm pinning and into them. I glue it in place, put the drill straight through it in two places. And then I put a paper clip through that's just a bit shallower than that hole. So it disappears into like the leg or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, because I dip the whole thing in super glue, push it all the way in, and then green stuff over the hole, and then just sand it back.
And then that's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah, because then because the good thing about that, like I've been doing this Tyranid Hierodule, and he's fucking massive spindly thing.
Yeah.
And so like you've got this whole weight suspended on these four. They're not skinny legs, but relative to the model they are. Mm-hmm. So, but I can pin that in like three places, and they are not fucking going anywhere because they're all at different angles.
Yeah. Huh. That's a really fucking good idea, man.
So you just go straight through from the outside. Yeah, and like you put your paperclip in, get your cutters, pull them out with the cutters so they're against the surface you want it mm-hmm. to be. Then obviously just slide them down a little bit, and you know the thing you're clipping is going to disappear in the hole.
Yeah, it's just going to go in there.
You've got so much material that it's going to travel through. You know, it's definitely not going to come out the other side. So you just have to put. The only thing is, you just have to poke it in before the super glue holds it in place, and you've got like right. a little stabby thing poking out of it that you can't file off anymore. You'd have to take like a sander to it. But yeah, but I've never had that problem. So yeah, but obviously my favorite thing about it is sculpting. Now. Mm-hmm. I'm not an amazing sculptor. I've seen some fucking... I mean, obviously, there's people who are amazing sculptors.
Oh, yeah.
They've been doing it at GW for, like, fucking years or ever, you know? And they do it, like... And Instagram, I like to follow, like, a green stuff tag or whatever. And there's one guy who did some super epic, like, giant beast man thing. And he's some super cool different texture. Like, he did it, like, there's, like, fire and smoke and sculpted all these cool things. But even the little things that you can try and sculpt with it, like people do, obviously for yourself, doing cool Nurgle stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you look up Green Stuff tutorials, it's nearly all hair, fur, Nurgle, or capes. People fucking love it. But
yeah,
like,
that's like the hardest thing to do is like a good cloak. I've seen some really bad cloaks. I'm like,
I'm
so many fingerprints.
I'm getting better at cloaks now because I think I saw a way of doing it and I was like, oh man, that's really cool. Yeah, I should do it like that, which wasn't something I'd consider before. But then, like, I did a lot of Possessed, and oh man, I went to town with it. I had so much fun doing those Possessed. I need to do more. So like, my first one was just like, oh, I stuck a spawn, I don't know, tail on the side of Space Marines, like for an arm, just blended in, painted it so it all meshed well, and it was like, oh, that's cool. And then step by step, I was like, okay, I'll make this thing. He's the backpack with the wings and the head of the spawn kit that looks kind of goaty or whatever. It looks a bit like a bloodthirster. Like, and then I was like, oh man, he looks like a bloodthirster. So I'll green stuff a tail on him. And then like by the end of it, I've got like a Space Marine where I just cut his arms off and just stuck loads of like paper clips coming out of his shoulder sockets.
Yeah.
Like, whipping, because I was inspired by like the thing, and I want him to have big whippy like red slippery arms.
Tentacle arms.
Yeah. So they're like whipping around, and I wanted to be gross and like wet, bloody. And so I did that for one of them, and another one where I went mad was I wanted to test myself. So I don't know if you've seen it. I did one that was. I made it from a still of the thing.
Yep, because I saw that. Yeah,
so I saw one. I did a couple that were like inspired by the thing, but this was like, oh, I want to see if I can fucking make that Norris thing.
Yeah, make it exactly. Yeah.
So I made it and then like had it coming out of like a marine. And some people are like, man, that's a spawn. I'm like, yeah, I'll use it as whatever. But now I can use it as a greater possessed.
Oz, if you could play a game with anyone, who would it be and what game?
Okay. Because I can't think of anything super cool and meaningful, I'm going to say you and Twister.
Oh, that's, I'm down.
Because I never get to fucking play Twister. Got it and no fucking wants to play. Everyone is too lazy.
Do you want me to bring my own Crisco or do you have Crisco?
You come with like special like gloves. You're like Twister tournament champion.
Do you know what Crisco is?
No.
It's like it's a shortening. It's like you can fry chicken in it and stuff. It's like this real slippery cookie. It's for cooking. And it comes in like this big, like a coffee can almost.
Okay.
And, you know, we use it for like making bread and all kinds of, it's shortening. It's like, it's just basically like goopy stuff. Like,
yeah.
You just kind of spread it all over and play Twister. It's pretty fantastic.
No, I've never tried that. That sounds amazing.
What do you wish you knew more about?
Everything. But like when I was a kid, I was into a lot of stuff, but I didn't. I wasn't really into school. I wasn't that bothered. But now I will fucking Wikipedia any. I'll be like, sand. I want to know more about sand.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
I'll just, or like, but my, fortunately, my wife is like super interested in everything as well. Mm-hmm. So she'll like learn about something and they'll start telling me about it, and then like we'll get all off on a tangent trying to learn about all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it funny, like now if you want to know something, you have like your phone and you can just look it up right away.
Oh, all the other thing is sometimes I don't even have to do that. I still use my phone, but I don't have to access any sort of other super cool information device. I will put in our family chat a question about something, mm-hmm. and my mother can't let something go. So if I ask a question, no one answers it, she will research it and tell it. So my mother is like, it's like Siri.
It just takes a little bit more time.
Yeah. One time, my favorite question that she, that I ever asked her, I think, was one time I rang her and I said, "Mammy, where am I?" And she went, "What?" And I was only just like, I'd moved recently and I was traveling to where we live now, the city where we live now. Uh-huh. It's not a big city, but I'd only driven like past it before. I'd never come into it. And I was coming in for like a Kung Fu class or something. And I didn't know where the venue was, but I didn't have a sat nav. And so I drove in and I took a random turn and I just pulled over. And I was like, right, there's a college near me. And I think there's a round. I didn't even stand next to a street sign. I literally just told her, like, I went, look up this city and try and find me based on these landmarks. And she's like, go and find us.
Your position.
Yeah, go and find a street sign. So I tell her, she's like, right, I think you're there. And then she just described to me, because I'm used to remembering names and stuff. So she just describes to me the series of roads I need to take. And I'm like, cool, thanks.
That's awesome. Did it work? You found your way out?
Yeah. Worked every time. Otherwise, I'd stop bothering her. But she hasn't learned. She hasn't learned that if she stops helping, I will stop asking.
As you get older, what are you becoming more and more afraid of?
Technology. It's amazing. It's amazing, but it's also horrifying.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, basically, the more things it becomes involved with, because obviously you get good guys and bad guys and everything, mm-hmm. and you got hackers and stuff, and just like, yeah, I mean, there could be someone like, my webcam isn't on. We are talking, but it's just a video chat. But there could be someone watching me through that webcam.
Oh yeah, sure.
Someone can watch you through your webcam if your computer is like on standby. You know, it's, and it's the same with like hacking into anything. Like, you know, I've got a baby monitor on. Someone could tap into it from outside. It's all radio signals. And like, that's why I hate the idea of driverless cars. I'm like, shit, my computer fucking, my computer will fucking crash at the drop of a hat. And yeah, it's annoying, but I don't want to be in a car and the computer crashes, and then the car just crashes.
And then you die. Yes.
Yeah. I'm like the computer crashes. Ah, shit, I've lost some work. Oh, ah, fuck, I lost a page I was web searching or whatever.
Yeah.
You're in your car. Ah, the CPU's gone down. Now I'm in a river.
Yeah. Dude, and that's crazy because we put technology in everything. Everything now, like there's refrigerators that have a camera in it, and you access an app and go, well, what's in my fridge? Yeah, it's fucking insane.
I saw someone the other day who on Twitter, and I think their bio, or no, I think their pinned tweet was something like, I work in IT, and that's why I don't have, and it was like Alexa, or it was like, it just listed loads of super convenient things that people love to have, because he's like, I don't want any shit anywhere near me, because I know what people will do with it if they can. So yeah, technology, it's useful, but fuck.
terrifying.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
So, what do you strongly suspect, but you have no proof of?
I mean, like, I've had debates with people about, like, I used to hate it when people would argue about, like, religion and, like, is there, isn't there God?
Yeah.
I personally don't. I wouldn't say, if it was atheist, I think atheist is the belief that God doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
And agnostic is that you don't particularly believe in anything. So I would say I'm agnostic because I can't prove either way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because I'm like, man, there could be a God. But what if God is an alien? I mean, what if the alien is so advanced, they're completely indistinguishable? Like,
right, yeah.
Bacteria to us. You know? And that's what bugs me about not faith as in religion, but faith, mm-hmm. the word, to believe something so strongly without evidence.
Yeah.
Because if someone would talk to me about God and stuff and then try and convince me that, and they'd say, well, you've got no proof about the Big Bang. I'm like, no, but that's why they call it scientific theory. Theory is basically admitting you know fuck all.
Right, yeah, sure.
You go, this is a theory. We believe this based on the current information, and we're happy to change this theory based on new information.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than, I believe this because someone wrote it in a book a long time ago. That's all I got.
So, what's the best thing that you got from your parents?
Existence.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
I'm pretty happy with who I am. Mm-hmm. And that must be largely down to them. Not entirely. Obviously, everyone's sculpted by, like, their environment and
sure. Yeah.
The people they meet and whatever. But, yeah, my dad, I get along with super well, and I do idolize some aspects of the way he lives life. Mm-hmm. And my mother, we clash quite a lot. But at the same time, there's definitely things I think she instilled in me, like, you know, she would always try and get me to speak properly, which never worked, but politeness and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Those sort of, I mean, you know when you see other parents and you think, I'm glad that's not how I behave with my child or how my parents were with me or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to go around judging people's parental skills, but when you see parents, like, just being awful to their kids or, you know,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you could just make a judgment call and go, yeah, I'm not cool with that. But my parents, even though me and my mother differ on many, many, many things, she did try hard with us and did the best she could with us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, fuck, man, I pissed her off so many, like, I did loads of things that pissed her off. It's not like, oh, my childhood was so hard because my mother was a jerk. No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Like, she would say that I did so many things that annoyed her. And I was like, yeah. And she said, and sometimes you did it on purpose. I went, not all the time. But yeah, some of the time. And my justification for annoying her on purpose was she gave me a hard time. And so that was the deal.
Right. That's just
she
what
gave
you get.
Me an unnecessarily hard time for stuff. I would use her as a form of entertainment.
If you were a superhero, what powers would you have?
But see, when you ask these questions, you've got to ask the other questions, like, is the power on all the time? Can I turn it off?
No, it's like any other superhero. Like, you're always that, and, you know, unless it's like a rich superhero like Batman or Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's like you always just have that power.
They're rich people.
They're just rich people. Yeah, that's their power. They have a lot of money.
I mean, like, I guess they've got, like, a super level of intelligence because Iron Man, he made a fucking weird robot suit in a cave.
Yeah, that's true.
Was mental in the film. Like, so, I think I've answered a lot of your questions with answers that aren't the answer. I've just realized because I was about to start questioning popular answers, and then you would eventually go, "Well, he's out of time for that one."
All right, next question.
No, like, see, I must have seen a power somewhere. I tell you what, polymorph.
Oh, to be able to change into shit.
Yeah, because people were like, I want to be able to fly. I'll just turn into a fucking bird. Fuck it. I'll turn into a bird, a dragonfly, a hummingbird, a hawk. I'll turn into a fucking... whatever. Yeah, I'm going to turn into a different animal and experience life as a different animal every day. And if a bit another more predatory animal comes over, if I'm a mouse and a cat goes, tries to bite my neck, I'm just going to polymorph into a fucking bear and scare the shit out of it.
And then fuck it up. Yeah, like that's actually a really good answer. Good answer.
Cool.
Man.
And then I'll
congrats for having a straight answer.
And then I'm going to polymorph into a gorilla bear and a gorilla spider bear. And I'm going to polymorph into a gorilla spider bear caterpillar.
What fictional character do you identify with the most?
Do you know the game Half-Life?
Yes. Yeah.
So in the later games, just before Valve decided that they would forget Half-Life existed, there was a character called, I think it was called Dog, and it was a huge quadrupedal robot that moved a bit like a gorilla.
Okay. Which theme here?
Well, that's not the reason why. I just realized that. But it's a huge robot that this character, Alex Vance, has made out of, like, scrap. And I was like, because I was trying to think, every time I thought of a character, they were either too cool or, you know, they were too, I don't know, edgy. I was like, man, what are qualities about me? And I was like, okay, Dog is friendly. He looks pretty bodged together. He looks like some of his parts don't belong.
Yeah.
And despite being, he's very useful, you know. He can move stuff that's heavy or whatever. He's, and it can be useful. But at the same time, he can break stuff very easily.
Right.
Which does happen.
You're clumsy.
Yes.
Do you RPG? And if so, tell me about your character.
Okay, I do. We've discussed RPG a bit before. So, in theory, I RPG in about 6 different RPGs simultaneously. Whereas in reality, none of those games happen. They've just started and then faded into the ether.
Yeah, they just fizzled out like every other RPG.
Yeah, so we have touched on it again recently. And obviously, the kids is a factor. Yeah. But, like, we could have resurrected a few of them. But the main one is, like, D&D. But we started playing D&D, and then what we did was we translated all the stuff over into Pathfinder.
Okay.
Just like D&D 3.5, but sort of refined a bit better.
Yeah.
And the way we started was my wife knew that I really wanted to play an RPG, like since forever.
Yeah.
Because to me, it is the best game. Like, the opposite to me is like a computer game, which has restrictions. And I remember like playing Resident Evil and I'm running away from zombies and I can't cross a couple of traffic cones with a police tape across it. There's no zombies here. Outside. I can't fucking go through it. And I'm like, let me go through this fucking tape. But whereas a role-playing game, you can do anything.
You can do whatever you want.
Which, unfortunately, forever's GM in the games that I play is what I do. But so my wife basically she picked up a short sort of pre-written adventure from like Forbidden Planet or something like this comic book shop. And she thought, oh, they just starts in the middle though. It doesn't really make sense. I want him to get there. So she decided to write an intro that would get me there. Mm-hmm. And she ended up writing so much stuff that it just blew this other thing out of the water. The other thing was like a bit of an anticlimax. It was poorly written by comparison to other things she did. It turns out she's amazing at story writing and she doesn't really understand the mechanics of the game that well. Uh-huh. But then me and my brother will try and help her out with that.
Yeah, you fill that part in for her.
But yeah, the interesting thing about our games is we don't have enough players ever. So the first, this will lead on to my character and why my character is the way it is. We're often one GM, one player.
Okay.
The reason I'm really interested in your finite gaming system.
Because it fits you perfectly.
Exactly. But the trouble
is, an hour to play.
Two people with children. So, the trouble with like a Dungeons and Dragons or Pathfinder or I assume Star Trek or like pretty much, you know, all
any RPG.
There's a party of players. So encounters and bad guys have like a challenge rating or difficulty level. And it's like, this is a difficulty of 5 or a challenge rating of 5, designed for a party of level 5 players. So now whenever I encounter anything in this game, she'll be looking up like an encounter, a level 1 encounter is designed for me and 3 of my level 1 friends.
Right, yeah.
And I'm just going to get annihilated.
You're
so
gonna get fucking killed no matter what you do.
So my character is a gnome who's got a half dragon template. And I thought of like a whole reason why that happened. I found a place where gnomes and dragons coexist and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I thought
of the whole reason. For it. But yeah, so my character is this little scaly gnome that can breathe acid, which has resulted in some amazing circumstances.
What's the last game you played, and did you win?
No, I didn't. We played Warhammer 40,000 Relic. Yeah, the talisman. I've been on holiday this week, and we played Relic, and the first time we played, my brother won, and then the next time we played, we realized that we've got the two expansions for it, and one of them is a cooperative scenario. So me, my brother, my wife, and my father played. And I don't know if you've ever played Arkham Horror.
No, I have not.
No, it is fucking impossible. Well, we have won it, but it's renowned for being very difficult, as it should be. I mean,
Lovecraft. Heard, like, everybody is, like, dies like immediately, like pretty
dies
much.
Dies or goes insane. I mean, you're just as likely to go. Sometimes you're more likely to go insane, but has the same game effect. Your character is useless.
Yeah.
So, it's brutal. It's like the grim dark of the 1920s.
Right.
Well, it was a bit like that. It was a bit like we just combined both games because there was like, okay, so you have to do the same thing you normally do and get to the middle of the board and win. But while that's happening, you have to control the awful shit that's happening on this other board. And we spend our entire time trying to control the other board and then dying.
Nice.
The game won, and it was not cool.
What's your favorite movie?
I can't say. Some people are, like, super into films. I used to be more into films. What's the Batman with the Joker in it? Is it
Dark Knight, maybe?
Which was well known to be like the best one.
It's
like
pretty
everyone.
Good.
Everyone loved it, of the Batman films. Oh, and Heath Ledger, he was so amazing. So we watched that, and I'm in an hour about whether I should go to the cinema with my friends. So we watched it, and we came out, and I really enjoyed it. Because I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to films. That's why it's hard to pick a favourite.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to enjoy it. If I'm going to spend 2.5 hours of my time watching something, I don't want to regret it.
Yeah.
And we came out, and I said to my wife, that was cool. What did you guys think? And they just went, yeah. And so I was like, shit. So I said to my wife, did you enjoy it? And she went, yeah, I didn't really understand what was happening. Now, her justification for this is, Jesus Christ. So I was like, what do you mean you didn't understand what was happening? Two things happened. One thing, at some point, there's a pivotal moment where a character gets a text, and it's the Joker texting loads of, like, policemen saying, like, if you kill this guy, I'll give you loads of money and he'll look after your families or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's a bad guy he's telling them to kill, but, like, the police want to arrest him, but he's done some awful things and whatever. So he's just trying to create those, like, moral dilemmas on purpose, whatever.
Yeah.
My wife failed to read the text in time. And then she said that every time something happened in the film, she was still trying to remember what happened just before that, ever since the text.
She was behind the rest of the movie.
Yeah. But that wasn't the only thing that threw her off.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to love this. She said, I couldn't understand what Commissioner Gordon was saying. And I said, why not? And she went, because Gary Oldman has a moustache.
Because you can't see his lips.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck do you mean? You didn't understand him because he has a moustache. And I think she sort of half lip reads. She's not deaf. and her eyesight is shit. So if anything, she should be better at listening than looking. But she was like, yeah, he had a moustache. Wow. And then so I said to my other friend, I was like, oh, fuck, okay. What about you, man? Did you like it? And he went, Joker was good. And I was like, fuck you guys, I'm never going to the cinema with you again. Fuck.
Oh, man, are you ready for the last question?
Fuck, is it the last already?
Yeah.
Oh, I was enjoying myself so much.
Do you know what the last question is?
I do know what the last question is.
What's the last question?
Pass.
Yeah, pass.
No.
Do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, okay. So yeah. I don't have anything like, you know, I'm not a commissioned painter or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could promote our blog, although I don't think it'll do much because apparently not many people look at blogs anymore. But so we got a blog. It's just mini painting and conversions. Called Kraken Doom Cool. So Kraken Doom, like the Space Wolf guy, Engir Kraken Doom, I think.
Yeah.
So it's one with Kraken Doom Cool .wordpress.com or whatever. So yeah, if you want to come along and see what we've done, if you've got anything you'd like to see on there that we haven't done, let us know. Do you remember your first 20 odd questions?
It's Scott Rush Wizard.
Who was the second one?
Stormgrad.
Damn it. I'm not going to do this all day. Very early on. I think Debbie Forster was on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, she was still working. So she's very recently, I think she was going to start commission painting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the UK, I mean, I imagine she's happy to get work from anywhere, but, you know, you can see her for commission work. Warp Time Radio, Stormgrad and Scarlet
mm-hmm.
on Twitter. You know, they've got Warp Time Radio. I think they do every Saturday. Frustratingly, it finishes around the time I'm done with the kids. So I never get to watch it, hang out live and, like, join in with the chat.
I was on it. I was on Warp Time Radio.
Yeah, I know. So I couldn't join in. So people should check that out. I'm promoting commenting on people's stuff.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing to promote.
Because, like, that's what I noticed when I was talking to people about blogs is we get tons of visits and no one says anything. We're like, we don't know if you liked what you saw.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a lot easier. People comment on Twitter more. But because it's so easy, you know, you see something, you just click that button, type a couple of characters or a GIF or whatever, or an emoji or something.
Yeah, it's easy.
But yeah, you see someone's work you like. I can understand if you haven't got time and you just want to say, that's cool. But if you see someone's work, tell them what you like about it. Tell them what aspect you have, what drew your attention to it.
Absolutely.
Beyond it being awesome. Just let people know why you think their stuff is cool. It's not about them needing validation, it's just nice.
Yeah, it's just a nice thing to do.
You know, if you
say something nice to someone about something they do that you like.
Exactly. If you appreciate someone's work, tell them that you do and why. That's what I'm promoting.
This has been a great chit chat, my friend.
Thanks, man.
I had a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming on and letting me ask you 20 odd questions. It's been a fantastic time.
No, it was wicked. It was really cool to chat.
Thanks again for listening to another Havocast podcast. I have to say that Adepticon was amazing, but the most amazing thing was many folks coming up to me and saying they listen to the podcast or they follow me on Twitter and they like what I put out there, and I appreciate the support. I'm truly humbled by it. Thank you so much for anyone that is a fan of this podcast or the things that I'm putting out there. I'm just trying to spread love and positivity, and, you know, that's fantastic that you're getting that message in. It's such a huge deal. I don't even really know what to say else about it, but I mean, it's huge. Thank you so much. The support is amazing. And I made a lot of cool friends. I met a lot of cool people, and I'm ready to do it all again. So you can find me on Twitter @TheLonelyHavocs. please drop me a line, say hi, let me know what you're working on. You can find me at www.thelonelyhavocs.com. You can find this podcast and other things there, including my Patreon. Hey, be a patron. And t-shirts, which are my new favorite thing to do. I'm going to be making some more t-shirts very soon with different crazy stuff that comes from this podcast and other games that I play. You know how inside jokes make for great t-shirts. And you can find this podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Stitcher, and Google Play. Pretty much anywhere that podcasts are found. Thanks again. I love you all. Good night.